نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى in numerous verses of the glorious Quran commands his servants to adopt taqwa. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله. O you who believe, fear Allah. These verses are normally translated as fear Allah. اتقوا الله, fear Allah. Fear Allah means fear the disobedience of Allah or fear the displeasure of Allah. And when you fear something, you create a barrier between yourself and the thing that you fear. So ittaqullah means, O you who believe, create a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience of Allah. Create a barrier, create a shield, create a curtain, create a partition, create a wall between yourselves and disobedience to Allah. Carry out all the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from all the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, my brothers, is the purpose of our lives. This is ibadah, worship, devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are carrying out only one part of ibadah. The ibadah consists of two parts. To carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one part, and to abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the other part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again in the glorious Quran commands the believers, commands the humans, commands his servants to create a barrier between themselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason for this is that when a person obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person refrains from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the comforts of this world and also the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allaha ma'al ladheena taqaw. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people who create a barrier between themselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who create a barrier between themselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever creates a barrier between himself and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for him. An exit for him to leave all the problems behind and leave through that exit. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill the needs of such a person from those avenues which he has not even thought of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. The one who creates a barrier between himself and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease for him in all his matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. The one who creates a barrier between himself and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive his sins. Allah will forgive his mistakes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase in his reward and make his reward great. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. If the people of the towns, if the people of the towns, if the people of the localities were to accept Iman, and after accepting Iman, create a barrier between themselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we would open the doors of barakat from the earth and from the heavens. So from this we understand the importance of taqwa. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of His mercy, as a result of His love, as a result of His affection upon His servants, with His servants, commands us to adopt taqwa. Commands us to create a barrier between ourselves and His disobedience. And what is this taqwa? What is this barrier that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to create between ourselves and His disobedience? It is the condition of the heart. Taqwa is the condition of the heart. If a person has taqwa, his heart will not incline towards sin. So it's the condition of the heart. If a person has taqwa, his heart will not incline towards disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart will neither incline towards major sins nor minor sins. He will abhor sin. He will abhor disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as a person abhors filth. A person who loves cleanliness, he abhors filth. If he has to pass by an alleyway, if he has to pass by a street or a road, if he has to pass by a locality which is full of filth, imagine the expression on his face. Imagine how he will feel internally. The disliking for that atmosphere, the disliking on every step that he takes, and how careful he will be in order to safeguard his body and his clothes from that filth. Similarly, my friends, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors us with the ni'mat of taqwa, which is the condition of the heart, Just as a person's condition of the heart is that he abhors filth, a person who loves cleanliness, similarly, a person with taqwa will abhor any type of disobedience. He will not be able to differentiate between major and minor. The only thing he will see is that this is sin. This is a sin. This is a sin. This is disobedience to Allah. This is disobedience to my Creator. He will abhor it. He will dislike it. For him, both are filth. Major sin is a filth. Minor sin is a filth. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma used to say that kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa kabiratun. Everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, whether it belongs to the category of major prohibitions or whether it belongs to the category of minor prohibitions. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing but big. Because whether it's a major sin or a minor sin, it is disobedience to Allah. So how can you say that a disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is minor? The ulama have categorized the sins into two parts, major and minor, for ahkam, for the purpose of ahkam. The sins have not been categorized into two categories for this reason, that because this is a major sin, I need to stay away from it, and this is a minor sin, so there is no reason for me to stay away from it. No. Sin is a sin, whether major or minor. Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, says that you will never come across an intelligent person who says that one must stay away from a large snake, but not a small snake. One must stay away from a large scorpion, but not a small one. No, every intelligent person will say that a person must stay away from snakes, a person must stay away from scorpions, whether they are large or whether they are small. So similarly, an intelligent mu'min will always say that a person should stay away from sinful activities, be they major or minor. Why? Because a major sin becomes a means for a person to land himself in the fire of Jahannam. And similarly, a minor sin leads to major sins. Minor sin leads to major sins. The ulama have stated in defining major sins that when a person undermines a minor sin, for example, a person says, it's okay, it's only a minor sin. It's not a major sin, it's only a minor sin. So for Zaid, Amar, Bakar, Ibrahim, Ismail, Ahmad, for everybody it is a minor sin. But for this person who feels that it's only a minor sin, for this person that sin is major. Looking down upon a sin, looking down upon a minor sin becomes a major sin. Similarly, a person who continually carries out a minor sin. Once in a while a person carries out a minor sin, overcome by his nafs, overcome by shaitan. It's a minor. But a person habituates himself to carrying out a particular minor sin, and he does not repent. He continually carries out the minor sin. For Zaid, Amar, Bakar, Ibrahim, Ismail, it is a minor sin. For this person, it is a major sin. So minor sin leads to major sins. Major sins lead to kufr. This is the order. Minor sins leads a person to major sins. And major sins can lead a person to kufr. So a person should be very, very careful in regard to abstaining from both major sins and minor sins. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ, stay away from sins. صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا, minor and major both. Stay away from sins. Leave minor sins, leave major sins. لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ, ذَاكَ التُّقَى, that is taqwa. That is the true taqwa. That is the taqwa that is expected from us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the taqwa upon which everything has been promised. There are various levels of taqwa. The first level of taqwa is to abstain from kufr, shirk and nifaq. The second level of taqwa is to abstain from innovations. And the third level of taqwa is to abstain from major and minor sins. And it is upon this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all the promises. All the promises that this particular person will become the beloved of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve all his problems of this world and the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make matters easy for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase his reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him this. So we need to make a firm resolution, my friends, that from today we will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannat is prepared for those people who abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, U'iddatil muttaqeen. Jannat is prepared for the muttaqeen. That means those people who abstain from disobedience to Allah. Jannat is not for those people who indulge in the don'ts and who neglect the do's. No, Jannat is not for such people. Jannat is for those people who abstain from the don'ts and who carry out the do's. Jannat is for those people who adopt taqwa, who create a barrier between themselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are humans, we are not Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. So we will commit sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu bani adama khatta'un. Every human is prone to committing sin. Every human is prone to committing sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannat is prepared for those people who abstain from sins, who create a barrier between themselves and sin. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every human is prone to committing sins. So how can we put these two together? The answer is that every human is prone to committing sins, but a mu'min does not make a program of committing a sin. A mu'min does not make a program of committing a sin. That tomorrow at 5 o'clock I will do this. Every weekend on Saturday nights I will do this. On the day of Eid I'm going to do this. When he goes to sleep, he does not make a program that I am not going to wake up for Fajr. A mu'min does not make a program. He sets his alarm for 5 o'clock. He sets his alarm for 4 o'clock. He does not make a program of committing a sin. When he goes to sleep, Fajr is at 5 o'clock, sunrise 6 o'clock, and he sets his alarm for 7 o'clock. A mu'min does not make a program of committing a sin. A mu'min commits a sin overcome by circumstances from nafs and shaitan. I will give you an example. When we put on washed clothes on the day of Jumu'ah, or after having a bath, or when we put on new clothes on the day of our wedding, or on the day of Eid, we do not make a program of dirtying our clothes despite knowing that they will become dirty. We try our utmost to safeguard our clothes from filth and dirt. This is the condition of a mu'min. Despite knowing, we all know, through experience we know, that the clothes will become dirty in 2 days, 3 days, 1 week. But despite that, we do not make a program of dirtying our clothes. We try our utmost to keep our clothes clean. And if dirt falls on our clothes, then because dirt has fallen upon our cloth and dirt has filthied our cloth, we do not say it's become filthy anyway. So let it be the apron of the mechanic. No. After dirt falls on our cloth, we try our utmost to safeguard it from other filth coming on our cloth. And we try to reach a place as soon as possible where we are able to clean that cloth. This should be our condition as far as disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. The mindset should be, never, 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 come what may, I will give my life, but I will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be the zeal. This should be the outlook. This should be the focus. This should be the goal. This should be the objective. This should be the mindset. Come what may, I will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if I have to give my life, I will give my life. If I have to sacrifice my pleasure, I will sacrifice my pleasure. But I will not sin. I will not sin because I love my Creator. How can I disobey my Creator? How can I displease my Creator? That Creator who has given me everything. How can I displease Him? How can I displease Him? How can I displease Him? How will I face Him on the day of Qiyamah? How will I fare when I am made to stand in His court and when He will question me regarding my life, what I have done throughout my life? When I will be questioned for each and every second I have spent in this world. What will happen to me at the time of death? What will happen to me in the grave? What will happen to me on the day of Qiyamah? What will happen to me on the Pul Sirat? No, I cannot commit sin. Despite knowing that I will commit a sin. I am not a Nabi. Only Anbiya are immune from sin. I will make a mistake. Sooner or later I will make a mistake. But He does not make program of sinning. His program is to abstain totally from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until He breathes His last, even if He is given the lifespan of 1,000 years. But if overcome by circumstances, nafs, shaitan, overcome by shaitan, he commits a sin and he makes his heart filthy. Then he will not further filthy his heart. As soon as his heart becomes filthy as a result of one sin, he will immediately realize that my heart has become filthy. And he will resort to the soap of Tawbah, soap of Istighfar. And by using the soap of Tawbah and Istighfar, he will clean his heart. This should be our goal from today. That inshallah, through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never. And if I do commit a sin, if overcome by nafs, if overcome by shaitan, as a result of circumstances, as a result of bad company, as a result of wrong environment, if I commit a sin, I will immediately repent. I will not wait for Shab-e Barat. I will not wait for Shab-e Qadr. I will not wait for me to go to the masjid. I will not wait for the day of Friday. I will not wait for the month of Ramadan. I will not wait for Haramain Sharifain or Masjid Aqsa. No, I will repent immediately wherever I am. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. This is part of taqwa. So taqwa is to abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as soon as a disobedience is committed, a sin is committed, then the command of Allah is repent. So repenting is also part of taqwa. Repenting is also part of taqwa. Ittaqillaha haythu ma kunt, create a barrier between yourself and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you may be, in the masjid, outside the masjid, in public place, in private life, during the night, during the day, wherever you are, create a barrier between yourself and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if overcome by nafs, overcome by shaitan, overcome by circumstances, as a result of wrong company, wrong environment, as a result of becoming neglectful of the remembrance and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sin is committed, then immediately repent. وَاتْبِي سَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمُحُهَا. Immediately repent. Repenting is also a hasana. So وَاتْبِي سَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ. As soon as you make a mistake, bring behind that mistake a good deed. And from amongst the good deed, the first we need to carry out is tawbah, istighfar. And after tawbah and istighfar, try to carry out as many good deeds as possible so that these good deeds can compensate for the loss that we have made by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make this firm resolution, my friends. Make this firm resolution that inshallah we will never commit sin. And sit in the company of the ulama. Sit in the company of the ulama, holding on to the company of the ulama and company of the mashayikh is incumbent upon every believer. It is through the company of the pious ulama, God-fearing ulama, muttaki ulama, and it is through the company of the pious mashayikh, the God-fearing mashayikh, that we will be able to realize the do's. We will be able to realize the don'ts. We will be able to realize our shortcomings. We will be able to identify the shortcomings in our lives, externally and internally. And as a result, we will be able to have concern for the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many of us who outwardly may seem religious, but inwardly they are not religious. Because the heart has become the center of hasad, center of jealousy. It has become the markaz and center of pride and arrogance. I am very religious, I am very pious, and we look down upon other people, that they are nothing, good for nothing, I am very pious. I am in my 20s, I am still young, I go to university, I go to college, and look at my condition, and look at this person, look at that person. Sometimes we will compare ourselves with the ulama, some unfortunate ulama who are weak in their amal. They don't come for salat and I come for salat. These thoughts will enshroud us from all four directions. So despite having a jubba, despite having a shari beard, despite having imama on the head, despite performing all five times salat in the first row, our amal are not acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the filth that we carry in our hearts. Riya, a very important filth. 40 days, 4 months, umrah, hajj, khanqah, etikaf, everything goes down the drain as a result of riya. And majority of the people are victims of this illness, riya. Why? Because the only way a person can safeguard himself from riya is through tazkiyah. Without tazkiyah, a person cannot purify his heart. Tazkiyah is the process of purification of the heart. And if we don't purify our hearts, how will we purify our hearts from such illnesses? It is therefore very, very important to sit in the company of the ulama-i haqqa. Because when we sit in the company of ulama-i haqqa, we understand the do's and the don'ts of the Sharia. We understand the rights and the wrongs of the Sharia. We understand the difference between haq and batil. When we sit in the company of the ulama, through ulama we are able to see the path. And then we need to sit in the company of mashayikh, because as a result of sitting in the company of the mashayikh and taking guidance from them in our matters, we are able to walk the path that the ulama have shown us. So through the company of the ulama, we are shown the path. Through the company of the mashayikh, we are able to walk that path and reach the destination, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, Jannatul Firdaus. So connect yourself to the ulama. Wherever I go, and wherever I get the opportunity, I tell people that at least take out half an hour, three quarter of an hour per week, and attend the gathering of a good God-fearing scholar, good God-fearing alim, whose aqidah is sound, whose ideology is sound, and whose life is in accordance with the pious predecessors. We may not have seen the pious people, but we have heard about pious people, we have read about pious people. And when we see a pious alim, we feel that he is similar to what I have read. He is very similar to what I have read in the books. Pious alim, sit in his company. And if that alim happens to be a sheikh also, alhamdulillah, then you don't need to look for another person. So sit in the company of this alim who is also a sheikh, who is a spiritual mentor. And if this alim does not happen to be a sheikh, then you will need to sit in the company of an alim on a weekly basis, for half an hour, 45 minutes, and also find a sheikh and affiliate yourself with the sheikh. And after affiliating yourself with that sheikh, try to follow the guidance of the alim, and where you feel you are finding difficult to follow the path that the alim has shown you, you contact your alim. For example, you sit in the company of the alim, and the alim said that it is not permissible to look at non-mahram ladies. So you start following the instruction of the alim, because the path is clear. But you experience that you are failing on every step. Every time you try to control your gaze, you can't. You are unable to. So you know what to do and you want to do it. You know what to do, you want to do it, but you can't do it. So what do? Now you need to go to your sheikh and tell your sheikh. Tell your sheikh that I am the victim of this illness. I cannot control my gaze. And the sheikh will give you instructions and take instructions, follow instructions, refer to him again, take instructions, follow instructions, refer to him. Sometimes you will be cured of the illness, spiritual illness, in a week, sometimes a month, sometimes a few months, sometimes a few years. But Allah will definitely cure you, inshallah. It takes a person 6 years, 8 years to become an alim. But he continues. In order to become a wali, it may take us a few months, a few years, a few many years, a few decades. But we have no choice. We must continue, we must continue. Ulama mashaykh, ulama mashaykh, ulama mashaykh. From among the six members of the tabligh, one is ilm and zikr. Ilm refers to the ulama that sit in the company of the ulama, so you know the do's and the don'ts of the sharia. And zikr refers to the mashaykh. Thereafter, or simultaneously, associate yourself with a sheikh, with a kamil sheikh. Associate yourself with a kamil sheikh and follow his guidelines and make your heart zakir and aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his instructions. Because Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was three in one. He was a da'i and muballigh, he was a Sufi, and he was an alim also. First he was an alim, thereafter he became a Sufi, and thereafter he became a da'i and muballigh. And it was the result of ilm and tazkiyah that made him a great da'i. Because as a result of ilm and tazkiyah, the immense ikhlas that was created in his heart, Allahu Akbar. It is this ikhlas. As a result of which tablighi activities are existent today in this world and throughout the world. In quality, quantity, both, alhamdulillah. So we need to acquire ilm. Either become an alim, if not alim, then sit in the company of an alim. And we also need to worry about our tazkiyah. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was the sheikh of Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to take instruction from Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi in his spiritual matters. Ask the ulama the caliber of Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi as far as academics are concerned. The awam will not know. The awam know him as a da'i and a muballigh only. Ask the ulama what his caliber was as far as ilm is concerned. His caliber was so high that he was able to teach any academic book taught in the Darul Uloom. He was able to teach Mishkat Sharif, he was able to teach Abu Dawud Sharif, he was able to teach Bukhari Sharif. That was his caliber of ilm. During the time of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah, during that time his caliber of ilm was so high. Despite that, he felt the need to spiritually associate himself to Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah and take instructions for the purification of the heart. And Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Shahid Sahib Muddazilluhumul Ali has written a biography of Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. In that biography he quotes Hazrat Maulana Inam Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi saying that there came a time upon me when Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi gave me dhikrullah, he increased my dhikr. He began my zikr and he increased until a time came when daily, only the zikr of Allah, the audible zikr, Allah, Allah, Allah. The quantity of Allah only was 70,000. Daily 70,000 times only Allah, 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 Allah. Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah says that daily, after the Fajr Salat and the programs after Fajr Salat, I would go into seclusion and I would remain engaged in Zikrullah until Zohar Salat. So Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was in need. Hazrat Maulana Inam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was in need. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was in need. the likes of Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi were in need. Despite being a Shaykhul Hadith of the highest caliber that our time has, he was in need of Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahranpuri rahmatullahi alayhi. And Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahranpuri rahmatullahi alayhi conferred him with Khilafah at a very young age. Despite that, after the demise of Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahranpuri rahmatullahi alayhi, Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi did not remain independent. He continually went and sat in the company of Hazrat Maulana Shabali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, his uncle Maulana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullahi alayhi. He remained in need of these akabir. So who are we, my friends? Who are we? Who are we? So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah taqwa will come in our lives. And tawbah will come in our lives. I always say to the young people, taqwa and tawbah, T and T. Taqwa and tawbah. And how will taqwa and tawbah, T and T will come in our lives? Through T. T and T will come in our lives through tazkiyah. If tazkiyah comes in our lives, then T and T will automatically come. So three T's. And we need to make a firm resolution that inshallah, we will sit in the company. Sometimes we sit in the company of the ulama. But what is the motive? I want to learn something new. Even the ulama, when they sit in the company of other ulama, I want to learn something new. Our tablighi brothers, I want to learn something new so I may be able to quote there when I am doing the bayan. Ulama also, he is a senior person and his research is more higher than mine. I might find something new in his lesson. Ilm, acquiring ilm should also be niyyah, that I may find something new. But the real motive of sitting in the company of the ulama and the mashayikh is that I want to purify my soul and I want to make my creator happy. I want to adorn myself with taqwa and tawbah so I can reach my goal. I can reach my goal of jannah and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I do not wish to say much in front of my very, very respected Mufti Farooq Sahib, Hafidhahullahu ta'ala wa adamallahu baqa'ahu. I have a lot of place for Mufti Sahib in my heart. And I feel, genuinely I am saying from this heart, that Mufti Sahib is underutilized, not only in Clapton Masjid or London, throughout UK he is underutilized. People do not realize the worth of Mufti Sahib. Worth of Mufti Sahib in both. In the people of Clapton do not have to go elsewhere searching for a sheikh or an alim. Here you have an alim and sheikh, both, two in one. When I went to Dabhel and Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib, Damat Barakatum instructed me to say a few words to the monthly gathering, I said to them that you are so fortunate that you have a sheikh who is two in one. He is an alim, he is a great mufti, and at the same time he is a sheikh also. In the spiritual aspect, you will not have to look for somebody else, and in the academic aspect, you will not have to look for anybody else. People like me, weak in both. Now we will have to say to people that refer to this mufti and refer to that mufti sahib. Our mufti sahib, I have full confidence in him that he will be able to solve any shari'i problem that you go with. I have confidence in mufti sahib because I know his caliber. I know his caliber as far as ilm is concerned. I know his caliber as far as the ruhani and the spiritual aspect is concerned. Please benefit from such shuyukh before they leave this world. We are nearing the day of Qiyamah and slowly people are leaving this world. And our culture, our mentality, our way of life is that we appreciate people after they leave. We appreciate people after they leave. Oh, Hafizab was like this and Hafizab was like this and Hafizab was like this and Hafizab had these qualities. When did you appreciate his qualities? After he's gone. He's gone now. Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Kapadravi Sahib was like this and after he's gone. Sheikh Yunus was like this and like this and like this, rahimahullah ta'ala. Appreciating people after they leave is no use to us. Appreciate people while they are still alive and benefit from them. And value them, recognize their value. So my friend, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, from today we will make this the goal of our life, tazkiyah. Allah says, in short, Allah says just one thing, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful is he who has purified his soul. Allah does not say successful is he who is performing his salat, who is giving zakat, who is fasting, who is staying away from adultery, fornication. That person will become successful who carries out all the do's and abstains from all the don'ts. Allah simply says successful is he
who purifies his soul. That means one who purifies his soul will be able to fully carry out the do's of Allah and abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I urge all the young ulama sitting here also, please benefit from Mufti Sahib. Benefit from Mufti Sahib. Value him. Value his presence amongst you. And benefit from him. Seek guidance from him. Sit in his company. Benefit from him academically and spiritually both. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on taqwa and tawbah. And shaitan in order to make us hopeless and to discourage us, makes us feel this way, that you did tawbah yesterday and you couldn't resist the sin. You did tawbah the day before yesterday, you couldn't resist the sin. For 60 days you have been doing tawbah, but you can't resist sin, it's pointless. No, my friends, this is from shaitan. It's not pointless. Every time you make tawbah, the first benefit is your past sin is forgiven, number one. And number two, every time you make tawbah, something is happening inside. What is happening inside? The stamina to stay away from sinful activities is increasing. So you make tawbah 60 times, carry on 61 times, 62 times, 63 times, 64 times. A time will come when you will be able to resist the sin. And until now you were committing that sin every 24 hours, now you are committing that sin every 48 hours. Carry on with tawbah. What will happen is that you will find that now you are able to resist that sin for 72 hours. Carry on with tawbah. Soon you will find that you are able to resist that sin for 1 week. And soon you will find that you are able to resist the sin for 1 month. And carry on with tawbah. Soon you will find that you are able to resist that sin for 6 months. Carry on with tawbah. A time will come when Allah will create a barrier between yourself and the sin that you are committing. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashik na chode, ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. We must connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through taqwa. And if as a result of our sins we disconnect ourselves, then through tawbah we must connect again. If we disconnect 100 times, we connect 100 times through tawbah. And if we disconnect 1,000 times, we connect again, we connect 1,000 times through tawbah. And if we disconnect 1,000,000 times, then through tawbah we connect 1,000,000 times. Inshallah, this effort will continue until we breathe our last. When Malakul Maut comes, Malakul Maut should find us either on the platform of taqwa or the platform of tawbah. If we are on the platform of taqwa, we are successful. And if we are on the platform of tawbah, we are successful. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu yuhibbul muttaqeen. And He also says, Inna Allah yuhibbul tawabeen. And those with taqwa are also beloved to Allah, and those with tawbah are also beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as He has united us, all of us here, at this very happy occasion, unite us all in Jannatul Firdaus with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Saliheen with much happiness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lengthen the shadow of our Hazrat Mufti Sahib Dhamad Barakatuhum upon us and upon the Ummah for a very, very long time, and give us the tawfiq to benefit from Hazrat Mufti Sahib and such great ulama and mashayikh that are scattered throughout UK and throughout the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with taqwa and tawbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant immense barakah in the nikah that is taking place today. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a very strong bond of love between the bride and the bridegroom. And may Allah grant them both the happiness of this world. And as a result of this nikah, may Allah grant them the happiness of the hereafter also. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lah ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله
صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن أعظم النكاح بركة أيسره مؤونة، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. مولانا سلیم بھانا صاحب، آپ اپنی صاحبزادی کی طرف سے، اپنی صاحبزادی آمینہ کی طرف سے وکیل ہیں کہ آپ نے اپنی وکالت سے مسلمانوں کی اس مجلس کے روبرو آمینہ کی ذات کو مولانا محمد منگیرا صاحب کے نکاح میں بعوض نقد مہر فاطمی دیا. بیٹا محمد، مولانا سلیم بھانا صاحب نے اپنی صاحبزادی آمینہ کی ذات کو آپ کے نکاح میں بعوض نقد مہر فاطمی دیا، آپ نے اسے اپنے نکاح میں قبول کیا؟ بارک اللہ لک و بارک علیک جمع بینکم فی خیر و آخر جمعکم. الحمدللہ رب العالمین، والعاقبۃ للمتقین، والصلاۃ والسلام علی رسولہ سیدنا و مولانا محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ اجمعین. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب، صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب، ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها انت خير من زكاها، انت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا الى انفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما عتيتنا. اللهم بعيد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ابدا ما ابقيتنا. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم بارك لنا فيما أعطيتنا وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا. اللهم بارك لهم فيما رزقتهم واغفر لهم وارحمهم. اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين الصالحين والصالحات، وكما ألفت بين الطيبين والطيبات. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين. رحم کا، کرم کا، یسر و سہولت کا، عفو و عافیت کا، فضل و عنایت کا، حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما. الہ العالمین، ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما، ہمیں صراط مستقیم پر چلنے کی، جمنے کی، دوسروں کو چلانے کی، جمانے کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین، ہمارا تزکیہ فرما دے، ہمارے ظاہر اور باطن کی اصلاح فرما دے. الہ العالمین، علماء مشائخ کی صحبتوں کو اختیار کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین، ہمیں مشائخ علماء کی توجہ نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین، ان سے سیکھ کر صراط مستقیم پر چلنے والا اور دوسروں کو چلانے والا بنا دے. الہ العالمین، خدمت دین کے لیے، اشاعت دین کے لیے، تبلیغ دین کے لیے ہم سب کو قبول فرما لے. اے ارحم الراحمین، مرنے سے پہلے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین، آج کے نکاح میں ہر قسم کی خیر و برکت پیدا فرما، ہر شر سے، ہر مکروہ سے ہماری حفاظت فرما.
الہ العالمین. دلہا دلہن کو آپس میں خوب محبت عطا فرما, مودت عطا فرما, الفت نصیب فرما, انس نصیب فرما, اتفاق اتحاد والی زندگی نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین انہیں ایک دوسرے کے حقوق کی ادائیگی کی توفیق عطا فرما. آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے دلہا دلہن کے جو اوصاف بیان فرمائے ہیں ان سے ان کو متصف فرما. آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے دلہاؤں کے لیے, دلہنوں کے لیے جو جو دعائیں فرمائی تھیں ان کو ان کے حق میں قبول فرما. الہ العالمین انہیں نظر بد سے بچا لے, حاسدین کے حسد سے بچا لے, شریروں کے شر سے بچا لے, مفسدین کے فساد سے بچا لے. الہ العالمین تمام کے حقوق کی ادائیگی کی ان دونوں کو توفیق عطا فرما. اس نکاح کو تکمیل دین کا, تکمیل دین کا ذریعہ بنا. الہ العالمین اس نکاح کو گناہوں سے بچنے کا ذریعہ بنا. اس نکاح کو تقوی کے زندگیوں میں آنے کا ذریعہ بنا. اس نکاح کو اولاد صالح کے وجود میں آنے کا ذریعہ بنا. اس نکاح کو دونوں خاندانوں میں محبت کا ذریعہ بنا. اس نکاح کو خدمت دین میں ترقی کا ذریعہ بنا. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین. ہم سب کے لیے شعبان کے جو ایام باقی رہ گئے ہیں ان کی ایک ایک گھڑی مبارک بنا دے. الہ العالمین رمضان مبارک ہمیں نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین اس کی مغفرتوں, اس کی برکتوں اور اس کی رحمتوں سے مالا مال فرما. الہ العالمین ہم بہت نکمے ہیں, ہم بہت نالائق ہیں. مبارک دن, مبارک راتیں گزر جاتی ہیں لیکن الہ العالمین ہم پہلے جیسے تھے ویسے ہی رہتے ہیں. الہ العالمین ہم سب کو قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما. اس کے بعد الہ العالمین زندگی کے ایک ایک لمحے کی قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما. معاصی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, گناہوں سے حفاظت فرما, بڑے گناہوں سے, چھوٹے گناہوں سے, ہر گناہ سے حفاظت فرما. ہماری بھی حفاظت فرما, ہمارے اہل و عیال کی حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین ہمارے ماں باپ کی, ہمارے خاندانوں کی, ہمارے دوستوں کی, ہمارے احباب کی, محبین محسنین کی حفاظت فرما, پوری امت کی حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین اس مسجد میں ہر قسم کی خیر و برکت پیدا فرما. اس کے تحت جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں الہ العالمین سب کو قبول فرما, سب میں ترقی عطا فرما, سب کو نظر بد سے محفوظ فرما. اس ادارے کو ہر قسم, ہر شر سے, ہر فتنے سے محفوظ فرما. الہ العالمین یہاں کے علماء بالخصوص حضرت مفتی صاحب کی عمر میں, علوم میں, فیوز میں خوب برکت پیدا فرما. لوگوں کو زیادہ سے زیادہ متمتع فرما. یہاں دوسرے جو علماء دوسری مساجد دوسری جگہوں کے بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں الہ العالمین ان کی زندگیوں میں, ان کے علوم میں, ان کے فیوز میں بھی خوب برکت پیدا فرما اور امت کو ان سے بھی خوب متمتع فرما. الہ العالمین ہم کو حق سے وابستہ فرما, اہل حق سے وابستہ فرما, اہل حق کے کاموں سے وابستہ فرما. حق اور باطل, صحیح اور غلط کے درمیان تمیز کی صلاحیت عطا فرما. اس کے بعد حق کو قبول کرنے کی, باطل کو چھوڑنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہم سب کو اپنے خاص بندوں میں شامل فرما, اولیاء کاملین میں شامل فرما. جب تک زندہ رکھے اسلام پر زندہ رکھ, جب موت آئے الہ العالمین کلمے والی, الہ العالمین شہادت والی, حرمین شریفین والی, مقام صدیقیت والی, تیری رضا والی موت نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے, لکھا ہے, جو ہم سے متوقع ہے, جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے, جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں, محبت رکھتے ہیں, خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ, اساتذہ, مشائخ, دوست احباب, حاضرین مجلس, شرکائی مجلس, سبھی کے تمام جائز نیک مقاصد کو پورا فرما. آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مانگی ہوئی ہر خیر عطا فرما. جن شرور سے پناہ مانگی تھی ان شرور سے پناہ عطا فرما. اللهم انا نسألك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين, واخر دعوانا الحمد لله.